Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Stack Overflow podcast, a place to talk all things software and technology. I am Ben Popper, Director of Content here at Stack Overflow, joined as I often am by my colleague and collaborator, Ryan Thor Donovan. Hey, Ryan.
Hello, Ben. Do you have a middle name I can shout out?
Migdal is a Hebrew word. I think it means tower. It might have some significance, you know, somewhere, but it's not quite as, it doesn't have any movies attached to it that I'm aware of. No Marvel
not
franchise.
Yet, not yet.
So you and I have been on many episodes talking about crypto, Web3, blockchain. You know, you often shake your fist, angry old man at the cloud about it. But today we're talking about a hash graph, which is not a blockchain. Right. So we're going to hear, you know, don't bring any preconceptions to this, okay?
Too late.
Our guest today is Matt Woodward. He is head of developer relations at Swirl Labs, which is working on getting folks interested in this technology and adoption of Hedera. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, guys. Pleasure to be here.
So let's start out, Matt. Just give a little background. How'd you get into this world, you know, of software and technology, and what landed you in the role you're at now?
Yeah, for sure. I should probably start with a bit of a confessional that I've been a full stack developer for 20 years. I kind of feel like that's a preface that I kind of probably should throw right out there for my
You've
sins.
Visited Stack Overflow once or twice, maybe.
Yeah, something like that. I guess kind of if I just bounce through my career for you a little bit, I suppose early career, I kind of was in that space, as we all do, of learning how to build new sort of end-to-end systems, and thankful and lucky enough to have some great mentors at that time in my career. And I shifted from there into learning how to do integration with enterprise systems. So kind of stepping up into that sort of big world of having systems talk to one another. And then sort of the last 10 years of my career, I kind of stepped more into an owner-operator kind of space. So kind of really looking at things through the lens of innovation and startups and running companies in that sort of way. So that was really interesting from more of a business lens. But I guess really over the last 2 years was when I really got into the kind of Web3 and sort of crypto world, if you like. So that's where I guess in that part of my journey, I was sort of initially learning about those ecosystems, you know, trying to figure out how to use them, how they were created, how they were made, all those type of things that kind of intrigue you as a technology sort of person that you're sort of passionate about. And it was kind of in that space that I found Hedera. I was super impressed with their technology early on, and really kind of that pulled me in to want to go a bit deeper. And I really liked their focus on sustainability and ethics as well. So I guess kind of I gradually got pulled into that. And, you know, I did things like creating my own NFT project. And that's where I started to get my hands dirty a little bit in the kind of DLT space, trying to go, okay, well, how do I use this tech? And I think then, you know, through being in that community, I got dragged deeper into wanting to explore the tech more. And that hand in hand goes with some of the circumstances that you see early on in the space. So people, you know, losing access to their wallets and things like that. And so I would do some scripting to try and help people with that type of thing. I would do, you know, building my own repo of scripts and do some YouTube videos to help others to learn about the technology. And then working with some NFT projects like Hedarian Dragons to integrate Hedera with gaming projects as well, like Tabletop Simulator. So I got kind of pulled into that space kind of quite early on into that sort of journey. And then shortly afterwards, I joined my current role as head of developer relations at Hedera to really help embrace the kind of growth of developers looking at this technology. So that's probably kind of my story in a nutshell.
Very cool. Well, good. Yeah, I know some people, you know, have jumped headfirst into the crypto Web3 ecosystem. I'm sure our listeners, many of whom are veteran developers, will appreciate that you did full stack before it and got drawn into this.
Ben said at the beginning of the show, we've talked to a bunch of crypto folks and they're all using blockchains. And I found out you all use a hash graph. What's a hash graph and what's the difference?
Great question. And one that comes up a lot, I think. Well, to start with, if we kind of look at it from the point of view that blockchain, it's the first generation distributed ledger technology or DLT, right? And that really gave us decentralized trust. It gave us programmable money as well. As a platform, it uses a consensus mechanism called proof of work. And as such, has quite high energy and computational requirements to kind of run that. On top of that, you kind of have inefficiencies with that kind of technology as well, because it is in essence a chain of blocks, and you constantly have to prune off any other blocks that are trying to sort of come out of the side, as it were, so you maintain the integrity of that single chain. And I guess as a security measure as well, it was designed to be slow as part of that. All of those factors kind of mean that technology is inherently quite difficult to scale. Then you have Hashgraph, which on Hedera, as a third generation DLT, you would generally hope was going to be doing things a lot better, right? So you're right. Fundamentally, Hashgraph is not a blockchain. The Hashgraph is an open source consensus algorithm and a data structure. So it uses a direct acyclic graph, or a DAG, and two novel inventions. One is the gossip about gossip protocol, and that's what enables a node to very quickly synchronize their copies of the ledger. The other one is virtual voting, and that enables nodes to independently and consistently order transactions and arrive at that same result without the need to necessarily talk to each other and congest a network with votes or receipts. So that capability is what enables Hashgraph to support upwards of 10,000 transactions a second and arrive at finality of consensus in 3 to 5 seconds. So in essence, there are two ways of solving the same problem, if you like, but one is obviously more efficient than the other. So hopefully that clarifies that a little bit for you.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, I'd heard that blockchains could only do, 3 or 4 transactions a second. That is interesting that it's built for speed.
Yeah,
correct. Yeah, absolutely.
And then, Matt, one of the things you mentioned at the beginning, thinking about moving from a more traditional full stack developer into the new world of Web3 and crypto, was that you appreciated that, Hedera had thought about the environmental impact from the beginning. So what is the environmental impact and how does it compare to more traditional blockchains? And I guess, we should probably say some of the more traditional ones like Ethereum have changed recently in an effort to become more environmentally friendly. So certainly something a lot of folks are thinking about.
Correct. Yeah, look, and I think this is one of those topics where as an industry, there's been quite a lot of reputational damage, if you like, because of the amount of energy that is used by some of the early technologies. And in essence, that same dynamic plays out time and time again in a lot of different industries. When there's something brand new, it's never going to be as efficient as it could be. And the idea is that the evolution of it is always going to improve on that. As developers, we kind of know how quickly technology evolves. And obviously the later DLTs like Hashgraph and Hedera have come a long way. So to try and contextualize it a little bit and put some framing around the energy and the sustainability angle of it, if we do a quick comparison, you could look at Bitcoin, and on average, the platform underneath that expends around 200 terawatt hours of energy per year, and emits around 100 megatons of carbon per year. Oof. On top of that, it's generating around 32,000 tons of electrical waste from obsolete and hardware annually as well. So there's a lot in there when you kind of look at that, and it's no wonder there's a lot of people that when you start scratching beyond the surface, it gets scary quite quick, right? That translates to a couple of really important figures. One is that essentially for the average transaction on blockchain for Bitcoin, it's 1,000 kilowatt hours per transaction. So I want to contextualize that for you.
Yeah. Right. I have a solar panel system at home and a car. So I happen to know that that's an absurd amount for a single transaction.
It is. If you had a Tesla Model S, that would be the equivalent of you being able to drive around 5,500 kilometers. So that's a massive amount of energy, right? Yeah. And if I kind of correlate over, the next one's really going to pale in comparison to this sort of thing. But from a Hedera point of view, our network expands around 160 megawatt hours of energy a year, which is about 2.5 million times less. I'll just say that again, 2.5 million times less. But that's the beauty of it being a third generation. It's had that evolution. It's had that improvement. And we emit around 80 tons of carbon per year. And that's actively being offset to ensure that we're carbon negative as well. So we're looking at it through the lens of making sure that any activity we're taking is being offset and handled appropriately.
Say again how much it is per, you know, sort of like iteration of the block. Was it 10,000? Is that what you said?
In terms of the energy expenditure, sorry?
Yeah.
So for Hedera, it's 160 megawatt hours per year.
Right.
Which is 2.5.
No, the first one. You had it in Tesla charges, but what was it in?
Yes. Well, yeah, absolutely. So let's go on to that. So in terms of the actual energy transaction, on Hedera, the average transaction is, ready for this, there's a lot of zeros here, 0.00017 kilowatt hours per transaction. Which,
right, and what were the kilowatt hours for the Bitcoin again? It was wild.
1,000 kilowatt hours, and that's pretty conservative, right, as well, in fairness.
Yeah, I had looked this up. Yeah, this is what this reminded me of was I had done a bunch of research because I got a home with a solar panel. 1,000 kilowatt hours. That's roughly, it's even a little bit more than what the average home consumes in 1 month. That's like a whole month worth of electricity for a house.
Wow.
It is. It's huge. Absolutely huge. And look, the Hedera lens on it is, again, I did the comparison on this. It's 5.8 million times less, right? So let's go back to our Tesla for a second. You've just driven 5,500 kilometers doing your Bitcoin transaction. On Hedera, if you were doing that, you would drive 94 centimeters. So,
right.
it's a considerable difference, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, this is Web3 and all, but a very kind of new generation of Web3. How does somebody get started in programming on the Hashgraph?
So, you know, in contrast to traditional Hello World kind of examples that you might use to become familiar with, you know, a new language or technology, you need to understand a few more concepts to let you engage with the network when you move into Web3. So there is a little bit more to it in that sense, which is where I think it jars a little bit for developers coming over into the space. So think about it, if you like, that you're going to need to grab an account on a network that you work with. And you could use that for both things like storing tokenized assets such as currencies, or, you know, you might be somebody that's into NFTs for art or music or utility-based functionality around that too. But you will use that account to sign transactions that you submit to the network. So immediately, you know, you're needing to familiarize yourself with the authentication, if you like, to begin your development journey. And that's a little bit of a leap that, you know, if you imagine putting that at the forefront of your journey, it's enough to...
It's a bigger hello world.
It is. Yeah, quite right. And so, you know, you've got that to start with. I think then, you know, as you move beyond that initial sort of leap into it, you've then got to look at the network itself that you're working on and what that network offers. In the case of Hedera, we have a consensus service, and that lets you create verifiable timestamps and event ordering. And you can use that in both Web2 and Web3 applications for that matter. We've got a token service, so that would let you sort of configure, mint, manage native fungible and non-fungible tokens. And we've also got a smart contract service as well. So that's where you can build decentralized applications and protocols using Solidity on our EVM compatible service. So, you know, you then look at that range of offerings there and kind of go, okay, well, this is what I can actually use as far as functionality is concerned on this network, and I can utilize that within my application. So immediately then, you know, compared to where you were with perhaps traditional software development and kind of thinking, okay, I've got to build all this different functionality out for perhaps the projects I'm working on, you've actually got access to a whole range of services and, in essence, a whole range of new use cases that just simply weren't possible before, with all of those being available to you. And that might be things like microtransactions or decentralized ID or asset tokenization. You know, things like I said about the verifiable timestamps, you can kind of use that for anything that's around compliance or regulation. You basically have this whole new world of capability that opens up to you as a developer. So it's a pretty exciting journey to go on for sure.
Yeah. So Matt, I'm curious, well, how long have you been with the organization for?
Sure. So I'm still a baby in the grand scheme of things, but it's just coming up to about 3 months for me.
3 months, yeah. So as you look out at folks who are working with Hedera in some way, or folks you've met in the developer relations, what are the things you see happening now that you think are interesting? You just mentioned some use cases, but have you interacted with specific developers, projects, organizations where you say, hey, you know, this is either fully Web3 or this is more traditional development meeting some of the interesting elements of Web3 and doing it with our technology?
Yeah. So look, what I think is really interesting at the space at the moment is that as a developer coming into this space, it would be really easy to think that you've got a, there's a phrase around this I'm going to use that you kind of could throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? And it's not that kind of sentiment. You can come into Web3 and still have a hybrid approach of still being able to leverage some of the things that you've used in a Web2 world and start integrating with Web3 components within it. So you don't have to leap holistically into a pure Web3 kind of mindset, if you like. So I'm seeing some really interesting kind of work going on in that sort of area too as people move across into the space. But generally, the one that I kind of really like at the moment that talks to me is in essence a kind of whole CBDC kind of space where you're looking at the finance world and how they're trying to integrate with the Web3 kind of shift that's come along. So I'm really interested in that. I'm seeing companies like MTech, for example, building regulatory sandboxes that enable both kind of institutions, regulators, providers to all come together in one space and kind of go, hey, you know, we're entering a new era here as far as technology is concerned and ways of operating. What does that look like for us? How can we put together policies, processes, ways of working in combination with the technology to get the outcome that we need to make this an effective end solution and way of working for people out there in the community? And so I'm really kind of enjoying seeing that type of development come about. And, you know, I'm enjoying seeing companies being open and curious about what this new kind of way of working can look like for them. So that's definitely something that's piqued my interest as I've been in the space.
Cool.
So I know the all the Web3 guys are always looking towards the future. So what's next for
yeah, look into your crystal ball, Matt. Now that you've drank the Kool-Aid,
yeah,
the
crystal ball. I literally have my crystal ball right in front of me right now.
You know, it's the now that we've made computers speak in economic primitives and we've connected everything, what's going to happen?
Okay. So I suppose in terms of what's next, if I think about Hedera specifically, what I'm excited about right now is the rollout of our native staking. That's going to help us, you know, facilitate the deployment of permissioned community nodes for decentralizing the network even further. And I think the community have really been hanging out for that. So I'm really kind of looking forward to where that's going. If I'm looking at it from, you know, an economy point of view, I'm just seeing whole rafts of new economies evolving as we sort of speak. As you look at things like play to earn, learn to earn, create to earn, there's a whole kind of different level of projects that are coming out around that. The new gaming paradigms, for example, using asset tokenization that are going to allow players to use resources that they may have earned or won across different gaming experiences. Or in some cases, they might even, you know, exchange that for something they want to spend or buy in real life as well. So there's a whole divergence of how some of these kind of experiences are kind of going to come about. And for me, it feels like we're starting to see the evolution of technology that we've all waited for and wanted for a long time. And I think that just some of those use cases that I've talked to are just the beginning of what we're going to see from a creativity point of view.
Very cool. All right, everybody, it is that time of the show. I want to shout out a Stack Overflow user who came onto the network and asked a stellar question. They were given the stellar question badge, which means this question was bookmarked by 100 users. Awarded 5 hours ago to G Revolution, what is an anti-pattern? Love it. If you don't know what that is, G Revolution asked the question and somebody else has provided the answer. So you can check it out in the show notes. Thanks, G Revolution, for coming on and spreading some knowledge around the community. I am Ben Popper. You can always find me on Twitter at Ben Popper. You can always email us with questions or suggestions, podcast@StackOverflow.com. And if you like what you hear, leave us a rating and a review. It really helps.
I'm Ryan Donovan. I edit the blog here at Stack Overflow. You can find the blog at stackoverflow.blog. And if you want to find me on Twitter, I'm at rthordonovan.
That's it. And I've been Matt Woodward here, the head of developer relations at Swirled Labs, supporting the growth and development of Hedera. To find out more about Hedera, you can head over to hedera.com, hit the start button there to find out more. If you'd like to search me out on Twitter, I'm also available as Woodward Matt on Twitter, and I would welcome connecting with you.
Awesome. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you soon.